Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I hope you're having a great week. I hope you're getting a chance to get out there and make some amazing photographs, spend some time doing something creative, spend some time with people you love. This is a wonderful time of year, no matter where you are in the world, to get the chance to spend time with family and friends. So I hope you're getting a chance to do that. This week I wanted to talk about, it's one of my kind of favorite topics because over the months and doing this podcast, I get questions emailed to me and some of them I kind of store up for podcasts. So this is kind of our five questions from listeners podcast episode. Like I said, it's one of my favorite because some of the best questions I get asked are from listeners or from people just in great conversations. So that's what this week's topic's about. But before we do that, I just wanted to remind everybody, I do have a couple of workshops coming up. I've got actually one this Saturday. So if you're in the Pacific Northwest area and want to come to the studio and do some printing, there's an opportunity to do that. Also, I've got a Shooting in the Pacific Northwest workshop, which we're going to be going out and finding a bunch of locations up here in the northern parts of Washington and shooting, and then coming back and making some really amazing prints off of those. We'll be doing that in October. And also Lori and I are doing a sustaining creativity workshop in October. So if you're looking for ways to kind of rejuvenate and find from a cross-disciplinary approach to your creativity, that'd be a great workshop. And you can find all that information up on our website or at the stillydogstudios.art website. Like I said, this week is five questions a week, so we're going to go ahead and dive into our first question, which was, I think, one of my favorite questions, because it was, what's the best thing you can do for your creativity? If you really want to move your creativity forward and you want to find new and innovative ways to be creative, how do you go about doing that? And I love that question because there's so many things you can do. Basically, anything that's different than what you were doing before inspires your creativity. Looking at new things, watching new movies, going out with friends, hiking, sitting and meditating, there's all sorts of things you can do to increase your creativity. But the question was, what's the best thing you can do? So I've been really thinking about that question and really looking at what times do I feel like I'm really creative and like, when am I in that groove and things are working well? And what I realized is that it comes from the improv world. It comes from when you're doing improv, and if you ever take an improv class, which is an amazing creativity booster, one of the things you will realize is that the world of improv is based on the notion of yes and. So whatever the person says in front of you, you respond to with a yes and the next thing. What that allows you to do is continue to move the conversation forward because no is a conversation stopper. It ends the dialogue. It ends the ability to open up more possibilities. So one of the things we're doing in improv is we're trying to keep things going. We're trying to find new ways and different ways of innovating the conversation. So applying that to your own creativity, you might find is a really interesting structure you can bring into play, which is to use the notion of yes. Yes and. So I want to shoot portraits, but I don't know how. Yes and one of the things you could do would be XYZ. Oh, I'm really struggling with this and it's not working. Yes and have you considered another possibility? Or, wow, I'm really not sure about this. Yeah, that's true. And here's a way to go learn about it. So instead of thinking about a stop in the conversation, always apply a yes and approach to your creativity. And I think you'll find that you never run out of creative ideas because you're not allowing yourself to be hit by a roadblock that prevents you from moving forward. So the best thing I think you could probably do for your creativity, at least today, would be to apply a yes and then move forward. So no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're struggling, try to create a more open opportunity for yourself by allowing a yes to be the default answer rather than a no or I can't or because. Really try to embrace that positivity that comes from a yes. The second question I've been asked a couple of times, which roughly translates into how do you go about learning something new? Because one of the things I get asked when I'm teaching is, oh my gosh, you know so much about Lightroom or Photoshop or printing, I'll never learn that much. And as adults, we forget that this is years of learning on my part. This is years of learning on any photographer's part. If you talk to any photographer who's been doing this for a long time, part of the thing they'll tell you is, well, I've learned this over a 30-year career or a 40-year career, or I've been doing this my whole life. When we're starting out, we forget that. And we forget that there's this process of learning when we find things and discover things. And there is something to having wisdom and having experience that guides you in making better decisions and being able to respond differently just because you have tried a lot of things. To that end, what I would recommend that you do is pick something that you're actually interested in and do a deeper dive on that. So one of the things I found in my classroom when I'm working with people is they'll say something, I'm going to pick on masking in Photoshop. They'll be working on some technique for learning masking in Photoshop. And I'll be like, oh, how are you going to apply that to your images? And they're like, well, I don't have anything where this would really be useful, but I need to learn masking. Or they'll be working on studio lighting because they want to learn studio lighting. And I'm like, oh, well, how do you use those? They're like, well, I don't. I'm a natural light landscape photographer, but I know I'm supposed to learn studio lighting. What I have found in most cases is that I actually learn something when it's directly applicable to the problem I'm attempting to solve. So if I needed to learn masking in Photoshop, it's because I need to mask something in Photoshop, not because I've arbitrarily picked something out that I think somebody said was important. 3D is a great example. I don't know anything about 3D in Photoshop because I've never run into the problem where I needed 3D rendering in Photoshop. And once I did, I would go learn how to do 3D rendering in Photoshop. But until then, I'm not going to try to fill my head with worthless information. I already have a hard enough time keeping track of the needed information. So one of the things I think you could do is, if you're trying to learn a product or you're trying to learn a program or you're trying to learn a shooting technique, dive deep into a small area and make sure it's something that you're actually passionate about. So if you're into portrait photography and you're learning portrait photography, break it down into smaller chunks. So learning posing, learning lighting, learning editing, and learning specific pieces of editing so that you're working on something small and you're working on fixing a specific problem. And the reason I think that's the most important skill to have is that photography is problem solving. No matter what photograph you're making, no matter where you're at, you're solving problems. You forgot equipment. You don't have the right equipment. The scene has changed. The light's not what you expected. The weather's changed. There's always something you're dealing with that's an unknown variable. And by learning how to problem solve, you're going to be in a better position. Learning any other kind of photography technique is the same way. Break it into something small, identify what you actually need to know, and work on learning that. And that way you're also rewarded by having the experience of having learned something valuable. Another question, the third question I get asked is, what do I think is the biggest issue with photographers and the biggest issue with photography today? And that's a really loaded question because I, as anybody knows, I'm a highly opinionated person. But if I were going to pick one thing, and I think it's the thing that annoys me the most. Yeah, it definitely is a thing that annoys me the most. It would be what I call mailing it in or lazy storytelling. I hate it when I hear photographers say, oh, the light wasn't right or it wasn't exactly what I was thinking. Or so I just went and took the photograph and then they went through all the time to process it and print it or put it on their portfolio or send it out. And it's not that good and they know it. They got lazy at the craft. They didn't commit to doing what was necessary to do the good photograph. And that, I think, to me is the biggest problem in photography today is it's too easy to think, well, I'll just, you know, convert it to black and white. I'll slap a filter on it. I'll change the color. I'll do something that'll make it visually sort of interesting, but you didn't make the story interesting. And at the end of the day, if you think back to movies you watch more than once, books you've read more than once, TV shows you've returned to more than once, it's because they have good stories. They have compelling characters. They have an interesting narrative. Nobody returns back and watches a movie that had horrible plot, horrible story very often. They just don't do it because the story wasn't compelling. It didn't hold you and engage you. So I think compelling storytelling is the thing that's missing the most in a lot of photography. And it's the thing we need to focus in on is how do I convey that which is inside of me out into the world in a way that honors, in a way that respects who I am and the story I want to tell. Because the only person who's actually really impacted by cheap storytelling is you, because you're not allowing your own creativity to come out. So I think that's really the piece if I was going to focus in on kind of what is that big issue. The fourth question I get asked is, how do I pick out a certain piece of gear? So I get asked a lot, what printer should I buy? What camera should I get? Should I buy this camera lens? And it always goes back to the exact same answer. And this is the thing you can do for yourself if you're trying to decide on something. Get out a sheet of paper. Get out a pen or pencil and write down what you actually need this piece of equipment for. I'm going to pick on a printer for a second. If you call me and say, I really need this help picking out a printer, I'll ask you a couple of questions. Well, what size paper do you print on? What type of paper do you print on? Do you print on sheet paper? Do you print on roll paper? Do you print black and white? Do you print color? I can't actually help you until we know what you're looking for. So understanding your own requirements is huge in making sure you get the right piece of equipment, because the salesperson is trying to sell you something. And if you can go into a store or you can contact somebody and say, here's the problem I'm attempting to solve, which kind of sounds like an earlier question. If I'm trying to solve the specific problem and here are the things that I need, it becomes a lot easier for somebody to answer that question. It also will help you behind the camera. If you start to list out what are the requirements for my photograph, what is the shot list I need, what are the things I need to make something successful, by understanding those requirements ahead of time, you'll end up with better photographs. So really understanding that question of what should I buy comes down to what need is it fulfilling? What problem are you solving? Again, problem solving. It's all about that in photography. So if you're thinking about a new piece of equipment, or you've got a problem with a piece of equipment, it's actually time to buy a new printer. Really think long and hard about what are those requirements, because if you can ask based on requirements, you're going to find you get way better answers and you spend way less money. The last question, which I've talked about before on this podcast, but this is probably one of the questions I get asked the most often, and it's how do you deal with failure? And that's one of the things that I think I've struggled with off and on for my whole, you know, life and my whole experience, no matter what my job was, disappointing family, disappointing friends, all sorts of various ways you can interpret that question. And since the passing of my brother, I really struggled with that question, because I just could not create interesting photographs. I couldn't stay committed to my shooting craft. There was a lot of other things I was doing for my photography, but that really had a heavy impact on me. So I oftentimes view not being behind the camera as a failure somehow. And so one of the things I think in learning to deal with failure is really learning to understand what is it that is happening in your life and what are you dealing with in your life that has you believe that something is a failure, and then what else is going on around that that could be recontextualized into a different way. So anybody I tell that, wow, I just have not really felt like I've committed myself to my photography since my brother's passing, they look at me like I'm an idiot, because they're like, well, could it be because you're dealing with the loss of your brother and the other things that are going on with your family, and you're taking care of your parents, and that's probably emotionally and time consuming. So it would seem unnatural that you would pick up a camera. But in my own experience, I don't contextualize that. So one of the things that I think that's important when you deal with failure is to really think about and try to identify what is it that you're experiencing as the failure. And one, is that real? And two, why would you benefit from having that be a failure? What is motivating about that? And then also, what is it about the way you're experiencing things and the way you're dealing with things in your life that might actually be able to help understand why that perception of failure is there? Because chances are you're working on something else, you're processing something else, you're dealing with something else. If you're a parent and all of a sudden it's soccer season and you used to go out and photograph every Saturday morning and now you're at soccer games every Saturday, it doesn't make you a failure as anything other than a priority has changed. So oftentimes what we perceive as a failure is a actual shift in prioritization. Now, when it comes to photographs and things like that, even on a more granular level, when I look at how a photograph's failed, it's the same process. I look at, okay, what actually happened within the photograph? What didn't work out within the photograph? Was it a compositional issue? Was it a timing issue? Was it a light? Was it a gear selection? What was it? And two, is it a failure because it didn't meet my expectations, or is it just not a photograph that I would put in the portfolio? And if it's not a photograph in the portfolio, what can I learn from it? So instead of having it be a failure, it becomes a learning opportunity. And I know that sounds really trite and weird to just recontextualize the notion of failure, but that's really what it's about. The loss of failure comes from our understanding of what's possible with the new information we've been given. So failure is a thing that has a negativity quality to it. But if I took a bad photograph and said, wow, that's a bad photograph, yes, and here's what I could do to make it better, the failure becomes the learning opportunity. So we're able to come back in and apply other techniques in the future to create a more successful photograph. So there's the kind of big five questions I've been asked over the last couple of months that people seem to be reoccurringly asking. I hope you, hopefully you've had some of those questions or some of those thoughts, and if not, I've given you something to think about. I know for me, every time I get asked these kind of great questions, it really does give me pause and a chance to really reflect back on my own creative practice and my own creative process and make sure that I'm focused in on the right things at the right time. I hope you have a great week. I hope you get a chance to get out there and make some amazing photographs. I hope you get a way to expand your creativity, minimize how you perceive your failures, and really try to commit to finding that amazing story inside yourself and getting that somehow committed to the camera. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the places podcasts are found. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.